Welcome to 900 Ackland Avenue, the podcast for the Ackland Avenue Church of Christ. If you'd like to read more about our community, join us at https://ackland.org. Thank you for listening to our service, and God bless you.
Psalm 133. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It is like the precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. For there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. Let's pray. Holy God, we are thankful for the unity that we have here at Ackland and the works that you are able to do through us as a result of that unity. And we pray that it would, through your Spirit, continue to increase so that you may be glorified and that your kingdom may be furthered here on earth. We ask your blessings on all the congregations of the world so that unity might increase, not just here, but amongst all your people. We pray for those that are enduring conflict all over the world, especially mindful about our brethren in Ukraine and those in the Middle East and Israel and Gaza. Lord, please be with us today as we continue to worship. And in all things, may your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Circumstances. There are some stories that you just have to see to believe. When I was little, I was very interested in a field known as cryptozoology. Okay, it's not cryptocurrency. It is the study of mythical or legendary creatures. So, think about like Bigfoot, the Chupacabra, Mothman from West Virginia. Okay, I was super into all of those kind of things. And I never knew if these creatures were real or not. And that's kind of what made studying up on these creatures fun. And there were some people who heavily believed in these figures, okay? There were a lot of people who heavily believed in Bigfoot. And then you have the other end of the spectrum where they said, no, there's no way this thing is real. And I always found that fascinating. And I think it's no surprise that the people who strongly believed in these creatures were often people who claimed to have seen them. Okay? And so while there are many different kinds of these stories talking about different creatures, the most famous one that I think most of us in here know is the story of the Loch Ness Monster. The Loch Ness Monster is a creature that originates from Scotland, and it didn't come into the modern mind until about 1933, and the story goes that there's a guy named George Spicer, and he is with his wife driving in a car on a road late at night near Loch Ness, which is a small lake in Scotland. And so they're driving on the road, and then all of a sudden, this huge lizard-like dinosaur kind of creature moves in front of their car and then goes and dives into the lake 20 yards away. So they go and they report this to the local news, and everybody was kind of like, okay, that sounds strange. And then a year later, something was released called the Surgeon's Photograph. And the Surgeon's Photograph is the most famous image of the Loch Ness Monster, okay? It's the black and white photo where it's the neck up and you see the head. Probably the one that most of us have seen, okay? So this surgeon went and he took this photo and then he sent the photo into the Daily Mail. And so with the testimony and the picture combined, all of these people started flooding into Loch Ness to get a glimpse of this monster, okay? The testimony and the picture were fine, but the people needed to see the Loch Ness Monster to believe it for themselves. And I think when we hear of these extravagant, supposedly true stories, our initial response is to doubt these things until we have personal experience with these things, okay? The story doesn't have to be as big or as grand as a mythical creature living in a lake. It can be an athlete who's breaking records. We can say, no way Caitlin Clark is that good at basketball. And so what do? Well, we go and we turn on her next game to see for ourselves. We say, no way that a computer program can build an entire paper in 30 seconds. And so you turn in, you put the prompts in to ChatGPT, and then you copy and paste it and turn it into Dr. Conway. It can be a place. It can be, you say, there's no way that they built a sphere in Vegas that feels like you have gone to a completely different world. And so you buy tickets to the next Coldplay or YouTube concert to see it for yourself. We are a people built on the phrase, I'll believe it when I see it. If you'll stand with me this morning as we read from John 20, 19 through 31, join with me in the bold section. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Together.
Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you."
And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Church, you may be seated. We are a people built on the phrase, "I'll believe it when I see it." And it seems that this phrase originates from this famous passage known as the Doubting of Thomas. Now, I'm going to be honest. I'm going to go to bat for Thomas here and say, I think that over many different centuries, we have been way too hard on Thomas in our thoughts, in our remembrances, in our portrayals of Thomas. I think about The Chosen. I don't know if we have any Chosen fans in here, but I mean, like, Thomas's whole character is just built on him doubting things for like four seasons, and I'm like, okay, he had one time. Like, can we calm down? So I say that we've been too hard on Thomas because if we're honest, Thomas's reaction is the most natural reaction to the story of Jesus' resurrection, because the story of Jesus' resurrection is hard to believe. Now, this concept may be difficult for those of us who have grown up in church all of our life, but if you can, let's take a step back from kind of what we've grown up with and really analyze the story that we are choosing to believe today. Okay? The story of Jesus Christ is a story about how God comes to earth in the form of a human, allows himself to be humiliated, tortured, and murdered by his own creation, and then he decides to raise himself up on the third day and ascend to the Father. And we still have these struggles after 2,000 years of theological development and personal testimony of millions of believers. The story of Jesus Christ is difficult to believe, okay? We have all of this evidence from all of these different people around the globe from centuries past all the way up to now, and yet we still doubt. If we have all of this information, how much, and we still doubt, how much more difficult would it have been for Thomas to believe this story? See, Thomas physically and spiritually followed Jesus, okay? And so it is very likely that he was not at the crucifixion, but that he had heard about the crucifixion. And then a week after processing the death of one of his best friends and his rabbi, he is suddenly informed by his other friends that the man whose death they had been mourning is now alive, physically alive. So, of course, Thomas's response is going to be, "Well, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my fingers where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." He says this because Jesus' resurrection is a difficult story to believe. And yet, unlike the story of the Loch Ness Monster, which was disproven in 1991, the story of Jesus' resurrection is a true story. But as Christians, we sit at this very interesting, very difficult crossroads because we choose to have faith in a story that is hard to believe. John, the author of the Gospel of John, is aware of how difficult this story is to believe, which is why I think he put this passage of the doubting of Thomas at this particular point in the gospel. Okay, I think the readers are supposed to identify with Thomas because John realizes that every reader of his gospel will be presented with the same opportunity that Thomas was presented with. The opportunity to believe without seeing. And so John's inclusion of Thomas's doubt is almost John telling the reader that doubt in the resurrection story is a very common response. And so I think that this is an important place to stop and address kind of doubt as a whole for a second. Doubt in Christianity is a very neutral feeling, okay? Doubt is not a bad thing. But doubt is not exactly a good thing either. Doubt is not something to be ashamed of, right? In fact, the book of Jude has a very small verse in verse 22 where Jude says, "Be merciful to those who doubt." Why? Well, because the story that you're choosing to try to believe is difficult to believe. And so we also see that Jesus doesn't shame Thomas in this passage. And so if Jesus isn't shaming someone who's doubting, we absolutely should not be shaming someone who is having doubt. But doubt is also not where Christians should sit forever, okay? We need to make a choice on what we are choosing to believe. I was talking to JP about this the other day, and he was saying how multiple times there have been people in his life who have two different choices, and they're like, I just don't know what to choose. And they end up not doing anything about it at all. And JP said, not making a choice is making a choice. Okay? Doubt is not a bad thing, but doubt is not where we want to sit forever. And so we must make a choice on what to believe. And so if we choose to believe in the resurrection, then we as a body and as individuals must engage in faith-sustaining practices. The doubting of Thomas is a text that makes us ask the question, okay, well, how do I believe when I don't see? And I think I would add on to that phrase, how do I believe when I don't see or feel God's presence in my life? In other words, this text causes us to consider how we measure God's activity in our life. What is keeping our faith alive despite the difficulty of the resurrection story? What is keeping our faith alive in the days, in the moments, in the weeks, in the years of doubt? Doubt that God exists. Doubt that God is alive and working in the world. Doubt that Christianity is the religion for me. How do you believe when you don't see? And I think that this story points out two different faith-sustaining practices that are crucial for an individual who is trying to keep their faith strong. And so the first one is that we need to listen to the faith testimonies of others. There's a major theme that's found in John 20, and it's that the story of Jesus' resurrection is passed on from person to person. So all throughout John 20, you see that the story of Jesus goes from testimony about Jesus to testimony about Jesus. And so first we see that Mary Magdalene has an experience of Christ at the tomb in John 19 earlier in the chapter. It says, "Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, 'Woman, why are you crying?' 'They've taken my Lord away,' she said, 'and I don't know where they've put him.' At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, 'Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?' Thinking he was the gardener, she said, 'Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you've put him and I will get him.' Jesus said to her, 'Mary.' She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, I have seen the Lord. And she told them that he had said these things to her. Okay? Faith testimony one. Faith testimony two is found again starting in verse 19. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Now, Thomas, also known as Didymus, was one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. Faith testimony two. When we're undergoing doubt, when we feel like we aren't experiencing or seeing God work in our life, listening to the faith testimonies of others is an incredibly important practice because it's an outward confirmation that God is still working in the world. Even if I'm not feeling it, I can see that he's still working for you and he's still working for you. Mary Magdalene has this experience of Jesus and tells the disciples. And the disciples have this experience of Jesus and they go and tell Thomas. And if we're sitting in Thomas's position and all of these people in our lives are having or have had experiences of God, hearing them out can help us hold on to hope that God is still working in the world even when we can't feel him working. I think the second practice that we see in this is that we just must be in Scripture. John writes in verse 31, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. Okay, John is saying that he wrote this gospel so that we may believe. But how does Scripture help us believe? Well, Scripture is God's self-revelation to people. And Scripture tells us the character of God found in Scripture and how God works with people in the world. And so when we regularly go to Scripture and when we're regularly in Scripture, we maintain a good grasp of who God says he is and how God works in the world. And when we know who God is and what God does, we can more easily see how he works in the world and in our life. And so staying in Scripture also connects us back to the first point of listening to the faith testimonies of others, because the writers of Scripture are conveying their testimony of God to us today. The premise of John's entire gospel is to make the case that Jesus Christ is God. And he makes that case by telling us his personal experience with God. And so when we read the whole of Scripture, we see that many different people testify to experiencing the same God, which tells us that God's character is consistent and has been consistent from the very beginning of time. But to understand that consistency, we need to be consistent in our reading of Scripture. But the main question that we'll close with is why? Why do we even need to be confident in what we believe? Why do we need to work out our doubt? If you look at verse 21, it says, again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Okay, Jesus gives this command to his immediate disciples, which becomes a command for all of us today. So the question is, well, what is Jesus sending them to do? Well, he's sending them to proclaim the good news that he has risen and that he has defeated death. Okay, he's sending them to proclaim that the kingdom of God has arrived and that the world order has changed. So he's sending them out to say, I need you to go proclaim this to everyone because there's a brand new reality that we're living in. And so if we're being sent to proclaim to the world that Jesus has risen, we need to have confidence in the news that we are proclaiming. We need to be fully convinced in what we're talking about. We need to engage in faith-sustaining practices so we can confidently proclaim the good news. And this proclamation of the good news does not have to be with our mouths. In fact, it can and it should be a proclamation through our lifestyle. In fact, living a transformed life is the biggest mark that we confidently believe what we say we believe and what we proclaim, okay? When we live as Christ wants us to live, when we claim that Jesus has risen, we confidently show that we think his way of life is the right way to live. And this lifestyle proclamation can be far more impactful than proclaiming the good news with our words. Because if people believe by seeing, then a major part of our job as Christians is to be the Jesus that they can see. And so I encourage you today that although the resurrection story is hard to believe, engage in practices that help you sustain your faith, that help you sustain your belief, so that we can confidently proclaim the good news that Jesus Christ has defeated death and that he is risen and is living today. Just stand and sing.
All day long of Jesus I'm singing, he my song of joy will ever be. All of the world he keeps my brother ringing, for his love is everything to me. He is my king, and oh, I dearly love him. He is my king, no other is above him. All day long in raptured praise I sing, he is my savior, he's my king. Streams of love
love and mercy, he the ransom. So a week ago, our German exchange student, Mary Louise, went back home. She was with us from the beginning of January until the very end of March. And we've had a couple other exchange students, and it's always a good experience. But Marie Louise was the first one that we kind of had from the very beginning of her stay to the end of her stay. And she came in on a Saturday, and on Sunday, we went to church. Now, I gave her the option to stay home, jet lag, all of that. She was like, no, I want to come. And I said, okay. So on our way home on that first Sunday, I was like, well, what do you think? And there was, I don't remember what happened, but church was very empty that day. And she said, I liked it. I totally doubted her. Sermon flood, totally doubted it. Because it was pretty dead, and there were not a lot of kids here, not a lot of teenagers here yet. And she said, yeah, it was different. She said, lots of different people got up to do stuff. When I go to church at home, which she doesn't go to church that often, her family are Christian, but it's not part of their practice to be a part of that community on a regular basis. She said, it was just different. Y'all had lots of different people do things. And then you all hung out after church. You hung out together. And that was different. I like that. She said it kind of was like a community. And I was like, well, yeah, church is a big part of our community. So, you know, move forward to the end of her trip. She came with us every Sunday, and we are also Wednesday night people. And so she was also here every Wednesday night. I think we went home early one Wednesday night after dinner. She had a test the next day. And so we were driving home, and it was just she and I. And I'll, as a parent, maybe you other parents can relate to this, it's always really special when it's just you with one kid in the car. Because usually it's me and all the kids, and sometimes all of their friends, which that's a totally different kind of fun. But when it was just me and Marie, she would get really chatty, and she would want to talk about everything. And this was her last church thing. And so we're sitting there, we're driving down 65, and I was like, so, you know, we got to pack you up. We got to start getting packed, and we're talking about all that. And I was like, so what are you going to take with you from America? And I'm thinking she's going to talk about school and friends. And she said, I think the biggest thing is going to be church. Because I never really thought about how God is a part of my everyday life. When I'm in Germany, I don't think about how God is a part of my daily life. She said, I don't pray. I don't think about it. She said, but being here, he's part of your everyday. And she's right. And I take that for granted, that Jesus came and died and rose again so that he can be part of our everyday, so that we don't have to go through a priest. He tore the curtain so that he can be with us every day. And our community grows because we build on common activities and common beliefs, and this is one of them. It is a common thing we do every Sunday together that we build memories from. I have lots of memories of communion. I have some of that were very powerful, very impactful. I have some where I laugh. I mean, when the kid spills the entire tray of grape juice, it's funny. It is a memory that sticks with you. You know, when you try to break the bread and it flies out of the tray and you're catching it, it's also funny because this is a meal and this is a celebration. It's not just something that's so solemn. So I encourage all of us, as we do these common things as a community, as we also come to the church retreat and we make those common memories that grow our community and make us stronger and make it even easier when we doubt, to know that God is present in our everyday and we have a community that lifts us up and helps us to not doubt and helps us to grow. So, you know, when somebody passes you the tray today, look at them. I always say thank you when they pass it to me, and I try to make eye contact because I'm doing this with you. It's not just about me. It's about all of us together as a family, as we celebrate and we rejoice and we remember together. So let's talk to God. Dear Holy Father, thank you so much for community, Thank you for creating a family out of something that most people would say they have nothing in common, but we have you, and we have your son, and we're so thankful. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm in the wrong order. That's a funny memory. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your blood that cleanses us and allows us to be in community with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The first Sunday of the month, we do a physical offering. There's also, you're still able to give online if that is more convenient. Pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the generosity of this body. Thank you for the works that they are giving, supports. Please be with those in leadership who make decisions about the distribution of the funds. And we pray that all that we do grows your kingdom and shares the love of your son and shares the gospel with others and that story of redemption and hope and mercy and love. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Sing to me of heaven, sing that song of peace from the souls that obedient will bring release. Burdens will be lifted that are pressing souls. Showers of great blessing from our heart will flow. Sing to me of heaven, let me fall faith dream of its goals and the glory of its curling name. Sing to me when the shadows of the evening fall. Sing to me of heaven, sweetest song of all. Sing to me of heaven as I walk along, dreaming of the comforts that so long have gone. In a fairer region among the angels come, they are happy as they sing that old sweet song. Sing to me of heaven, let me fondly dream of its golden south and glory of its first little dream. Sing to me when the shadows of the evening fall.
Say thank you to Carter and Ryan for just the amazing sermon testimony today. Felt that. Very much needed, but let's open our bulletins to 1 John chapter 1. Doing chapter 1, chapter 2, verse 2. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and have heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and we do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light, he is in the light. We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. He will forgive us our sins and purify us of all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But anybody who does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for giving us this opportunity to come together as a community, coming together as those who are thirsty and hungry for you, those who are in need, those who long for you. We're so grateful for the sacrifice, the death and resurrection of your Son, the blood that was paid for blood that was shed so that we may have a relationship with you. We're very grateful for this day that you brought us today, and we pray that we may look to you for guidance, look to you in all our ways, seek you out. We pray that you may not turn your face from us, but that your face may shine on us in everything that we do. It's in your Son's holy name that we pray. Amen.
Hey everybody, thanks to everybody that spoke this morning without the aid of the microphone. Carter, man, you're freaking awesome. I just love it when, like, somebody who's gifted at something and they're able to use their talents for God. Like, that's awesome. That's like what it's all about right there, folks. I'm going to skip to the family news. Happy anniversary to Sarah and I today. Thank you. My daughter said don't say anything, so I'm trying hard right now. Okay, and I just did. Sorry, Zora. congrats to Mara and Andrew. Super awesome news, very cool. As well as the Myricks. Ravenbrook, love that name. Our condolences to Rita's family and to Don. Man, she was a pistol. And my thoughts of her constantly were just her laughing. Like, the joy she brought to Don's life especially, I really appreciated that. So, like, be thinking of Don in these times. This is just rough stuff. Good news, Naomi's going to be in a play soon. You want to check that out? That should be another great one. I also have heard, and I'm a Lipscomb person by marriage, so, like, this is all very confusing to me, so I'm about to say something that may go wrong. Evidently, I had heard there's this thing called Singerama. And supposedly, Allie and Carter and maybe a group of people, they won. They won the sing. So singing was won. You can win at singing. I did not know this. This is an interesting development. So what else we got? We've got announcements. There is small group today for the kids and the grown-ups, if you're involved with that sort of thing. Wednesday nights will be at the Conways starting this week. Reminder that work camp registration stuff is happening soon. Man, it's a lot of fun, kids. Like, if you're a teenager, like, you want to do this, it's ask around. It's a good time. And I look forward to some dudes staying at my house every night. They're always a lot of fun. What else we got? Acklim Retreat is coming up. That should be also exciting. Please let us know if you're coming. So the Acklim Music Survey, there is a QR code you can scan in the back with your phone and it'll pull up the form. Also going to send the form URL again to the Acklim Google group. Please fill this out. Right now we've got about 6 votes. This means that with a careful coup, some of us could get Puff the Magic Dragon as the number one song choice if we wanted to. You know who you are. Let's talk after church. So the possibilities are there. Not that Larry's going to actually lead that, but, like, I think it'd be funny.
You dare me?
Okay. I would never. I wouldn't dream of it. So, What else we got? That may be more or less it. Check the calendar. There's lots of cool things coming on. Look at the prayer request. Please be praying for folks. JP?
I just want to make a plug for the retreat. Whether you can come the whole time or just part of it, try to come hang out with us some. We're only about 45 minutes away. We're going to play Quidditch at 1 o'clock on Saturday.
Yes!
If you've never played Quidditch, it's even better than what you're thinking right now. And even if you just want to come watch, it's pretty amazing. And then the talent show's at 3:30, and it's only fun if people come and are willing to laugh and, like, bring a talent. It doesn't have to be a big talent, but we need participants and adults. You're not too cool for school. We need you to be a part of the talent show at 3:30.
One other thing about the survey, the kids are absolutely, like, welcome to fill out their things. Like, I know Penny Hoskins has got at least, like, 6 songs she could pick. Judah needs some songs, like, and if you don't have internet access, and I know a couple of you don't, please, like, talk to me or talk to anybody, really. We'll help you fill out the form. If you've got some favorite songs, like, we want to hear it. So, with all that said, there is coffee and donuts downstairs.
You've been listening to 900 Ackland Avenue, the podcast for the Ackland Avenue Church of Christ. If you'd like more information about our community, our church website is http://ackland.org. Thanks again for joining us. God bless.